beautiful. Thank you.
Our New Testament reading is from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 12 and following. And Paul writes this: "Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning, I'm going to continue in the series on Ephesians. And this morning, the theme is one in Christ. But first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this psychology professor who was just finishing a lecture on mental health and specifically was giving an oral exam, and she was talking about manic depression, and she asked the class, she said, "How would you diagnose a patient who walks back and forth screaming at the top of his lungs 1 minute and then sits in a chair weeping uncontrollably the next?" And a young man raised his hand in the back class. She called on him and he said, "A basketball coach." Well, that's my March Madness joke. So, well, we're looking at the book of Ephesians, and we sort of walked through that. We looked at the big picture. We looked at plugged into the power, which is Christ and God's Holy Spirit through Christ, and then made alive in Christ, salvation through faith, through God's grace alone. And this morning I want to look at being one in Christ. And there's really three images to think about that Paul sort of alludes to in this. And it's sort of a passage that winds around a bit. But think of these three images: a bridge, a family, and a foundation. A bridge, a family, and a foundation. And again, as I said before, this church is actually a group of churches started when Paul went to on his missionary journey. One of his missionary journeys stopped in what is now Western Turkey in the city of Ephesus, and found some followers and disciples of John. He talked to them. They had never heard about Christ, and they became believers in Christ. He baptized them, began to lecture some in the synagogue, and then I was asked to go elsewhere, and he lectured in a hall there in Ephesus to both Jews and Greeks, and a church was started there. And then there was a sort of came to head of this big riot in this big amphitheater out there, where they believed that Paul was sort of undermining this worship of this goddess Artemis, or Diana for the Romans, in this huge temple, one of the seven wonders of the world, larger than a football field. The statue of the goddess of Artemis that was 60 feet tall. And so Paul decided it was time to leave. They'd been there for about 2 years. The church had its leaders. It continued to flourish and actually spread to other churches in the region. And so Paul knows some of the people in this church, but doesn't know everybody, because the church has grown into a series of churches. And he's writing this letter to them from prison. He's in prison in, we believe, in Rome at this time. And the church is under some persecution there. And I mentioned previously that Paul, without knowing, sort of takes a chapter from some of the leadership series. And there's a person that for to go through change and challenge and adversity, that we have four P's that we sort of know: the purpose, the big picture, the plan, and that we all have a part to play. And Paul adds an additional thing, which is Paul adds power. We have power in Christ. And so he says that this is the purpose. In chapter 1, verse 10, he said, "When the times will have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in the universe together under Christ." That's God's ultimate purpose in all this. And then and the big picture was this. He said that even though we're going through trials and adversity right now, that God has chosen us, God has blessed us, God has revealed to us, God has secured us. And he gives these two pictures of the seal of God's kingship on our lives through the Holy Spirit. And that is a deposit guaranteeing that God will see us through, not just from the beginning, but also clear to the end. And he talks about the power of Christ. And last week we started to work on God's plan. And the first part of that plan is that that we as individuals would know salvation through God's grace in Christ. He's finishing the plan now. And so those two steps are really this, that he says that, that God has not only reconciled individuals to God through Christ, but God has also reconciled each of us to each other through what Christ has accomplished in our life, and that God is also bringing all things in all places under Christ if we will simply submit to Him. And so with that in mind, we look at those three images, the bridge and the foundation and the family. And Paul says this, he says, but now again, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. In other words, if you're not Jewish, you hadn't been grown up with the law. And if you were Jewish, you found out very clearly that you couldn't follow all the rules of man. It's not just the Ten Commandments, but also all these rules and regulations in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And he goes on to say that we really were all far away from Christ. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God has brought us to Christ by faith alone, in God's grace alone, through what He's accomplished in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And to sort of emphasize that, Paul uses this image of this wall, this dividing wall. So imagine for a moment this morning that you are sort of on one side of this giant chasm, maybe it's something like the Grand Canyon, the biggest chasm I can think of, and there's a dividing wall there, and that dividing wall is all the things that we've done wrong, not only as individuals, but really all the human race, and that dividing wall is between us and God. And Paul says this. Paul says that through Christ, God has smashed or brought down that wall, and then imagine a bridge from one side to the other. And that, if you will, is like the cross. It's as if God has taken the cross of Calvary and set it down in that horizontal span, spans all the way from ourselves to God. And he goes on to say this specifically. He says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law and its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. In other words, God has put the cross and has spanned the chasm between ourselves and God after smashing down this wall. And he goes on to say, he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. In other words, whether you're a Gentile or a Jew, it doesn't matter. Whether you're near or far, it doesn't matter. The only way we can get to God and know peace and forgiveness is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Jesus Christ himself became our peace between ourselves and God. And Paul says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. He himself is our peace who is broken down the wall of hostility. And so you think about the hurt that we have, that Christ brings healing. You think about the guilt for the sins and shortcomings, and Christ brings forgiveness and grace. And you think about sometimes we feel unloved, but God has shown us the greatest gift of love, and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He himself brings peace. So that first image is Christ is that bridge from what is from near to far. And Christ has also made us family. And Paul goes on to say this. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. What a beautiful image. And sometimes we feel like we are so far away from God, but God has not only spanned or made a bridge to the cross from ourselves, that we can have access to God as our Heavenly Father who forgives us and loves us, but God has also called us his our family. And whether we're Jews or Greeks or whatever country or race or place we're from, that we are all part of the family of God. And things aren't important that whether your denomination, but this denomination or that denomination, but that we're part of the family of God. And we come to that by adoption through Jesus Christ, who has made us his own. And if you look at that story this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's a beautiful story. This Roman officer, and it's called a centurion, which is kind of a Roman officer, but the most important thing is it was a Roman officer with some prestige. He comes to Jesus, and obviously he wasn't Jewish. He was Roman, and really in some ways he was a symbol of Jewish oppression. Now, Rome had conquered Israel. They were under subjugation of Rome, and the Roman army was a symbol of that. And so if you were a Roman officer, you're probably worse than that. And he comes to Jesus, and he says, listen, I have a servant who is paralyzed, and he's suffering terribly. And Jesus looked at him and said, would you like me to heal him? And the Roman officer looked at Jesus, and in many cases, Jews weren't allowed in a Roman household or Gentile household. And the Roman officer looks at him with a great deal of faith and says, listen, I'm a Roman officer. I have people under me, and if I just speak the word, they obey my commands. And I have household servants, and I ask them to do something, they do something. And I know that you, as Lord of the universe, if you will just speak the word, he will be healed. And Jesus looked at this Roman officer and he looks around his disciples and said, listen, I haven't found this kind of faith in all of Israel. And he goes on to say, listen, those you think who are far away are going to be gathered around the Father's table as sons and daughters of God because of what I am doing. And it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or you're Gentile or Greek or Roman. It doesn't matter. You're all welcome around the Lord's table if you have faith in him. And Jesus looked at that Roman officer and said, your servant be healed. And that very moment, that Roman officer's servant was healed. And today, when we think about our own lives, we weren't brought up in a Jewish background, but we were brought up with the Old Testament, our hearts alive. But if you look at that image and say, well, listen, we're part of the church, and sometimes we think, well, we have an inside track to God's grace. And in one sense, we do, because we're brought up hearing God's word, or we're brought up knowing about Christ's love from very young, but that doesn't give us an inside track, really, in our hearts. Regardless of where we're from, whether we're in this denomination or that denomination, we all individually have to ask God for forgiveness and be saved through grace in Christ. And you think about being part of the family, there's a wonderful image that I think about of sort of extending grace to people who really aren't part of our physical family, or even if we think part of our church family. And that great story, and also part of the Broadway play, Les Miserables, there's this wonderful story, which is about Jean Valjean. And Jean Valjean, early in life, was married and had a family, and he didn't have any money, he didn't have a job, and so he went out and he stole a loaf of bread to feed his family. He was found to have stolen the loaf of bread, and back then he was thrown in this prison, and he was in prison for 20 years, and he finally got out of prison, and he didn't have any money, didn't know anywhere his family was. In order to get some money, he went out and he broke into this church, and in that church, he saw this priest. The priest tried to help him, and then Jean Valjean, in the middle of the night, goes and he's stealing these silver candlesticks and all these different silver goods that were worth some money. And in the middle of that, the priest comes and interrupts him, and he hits the priest over the head with one of the candlesticks and knocks him out, and he flees from that. The next morning, the police are called and are out looking for Jean Valjean, and they find him, and they bring him to the house of the priest, and they accuse him of stealing these precious items of silver. And the priest says, oh, you must be mistaken. They were a gift. And he said, but you forgot some more things. So he goes back and he gets some other silver candlesticks. He gives them to Jean Valjean and says, here, this is a gift. And he tells him, he says, I have bought your soul for God. I have bought your soul for God. And the police have to let him go. And the rest of the story is just about this, that because of the grace of that priest showing Christ's love to Jean Valjean, he goes and he meets all these different people, and he does these little acts of grace, sort of playing that gift forward to other people's lives. And those small acts of grace make a big difference in other people's lives. And just like that priest did a small act, really a great act of grace, changed his life forever. And we don't even know in the story the priest's name. It's the author wanted to make that clear, that it could be anyone. That's really true in our lives. How do we extend God's grace to those who don't appear to be part of the family of God, but really that God is calling it. And you and I can sometimes do a little thing that can make a big difference in other people's lives. So Christ is a bridge and calls us to be part of a family. And finally, we're part of a foundation we can build our hearts and lives on. Paul goes on with this imagery, and he says this in verse 20 and following. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been to a huge cathedral and seen all that. One of my experiences is to take youth groups and college groups to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, which is in Harlem in New York City. It's an immense cathedral. It's built like the short cathedral, I guess, in France. But in any case, it's still being built, and it's going to be over 100 years, and you can go in there, and there's all things going on, but they're still working, and they had to train these sculptures, because you don't have stone sculptures today. I mean, any kind of thing you see is really poured concrete. But these are these stones being sculpted. And I got a chance to talk to one of the craftsmen. We were going around touring. And he's working on this, and he'll never see the completion of this huge cathedral. But he is training his son to be a stone sculptor as well. And he was so proud of that. He's part of the, actually lives in Harlem, and he got the job and was trained as a stonemason by the church there. And he's training his son so that his son can complete that process. And so I think that's a wonderful image of our life as part of God's cathedral. You and I may not see in this life of that cathedral that's the one cathedral that God is building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But if we pass on the importance of how much it means to our children and our children's children, we can see that eventually we'll all be treated as one in the importance of God's cathedral. And the most important thing is that it's built on the foundation of Christ, that Christ is the chief cornerstone. And there's a lot of people out in our world today that are building their lives on a lot of different things, but that's really just shifting sand, whether it's prosperity or whether it's popularity or whatever it is. We can know that those foundations last for a short time, but Jesus Christ is the foundation that's secure for all of eternity. And so those three images for us this morning, that Christ is our bridge, and he calls us to be part of his family, and he challenges us to build our life on Christ Jesus as the foundation of our life. So I'd like to ask all of us this morning to think about our lives. Are we reconciled to God, and are we part of that God's plan? Both that we're reconciled to God as individuals and that we're reconciled to sisters and brothers in Christ. Do we know that? Are we able to cross that chasm between ourselves and God that Jesus has broken down the wall and formed a bridge from the cross and offers us forgiveness and new life because he has paid the penalty for all our sins and shortcomings? And not only that, but Jesus calls us, invites us to be part of the family of God, sisters and brothers in Christ, and invites us not only to know God's grace, but to extend it to others, like that priest did to Jean Valjean, and Jean Valjean in turn offered small bits and moments of grace to others that changed their lives in great ways. And finally, are we part of that foundation of faith? I'm going to close with this illustration. Fanny J. Crosby, one of the great hymn writers of the 20th century, she was blind from birth and didn't know many of the images that we know, but yet, because of that, perhaps, God used her in great way to show images that she saw in her mind. And one of those images is of Jesus holding our hand as we sort of cross that bridge from ourselves to God. So this from her hymn, "Hold Thou My Hand. Hold Thou My Hand, the way is dark before me, without the sunlight of thy divine face. By when by faith I catch its radiant glory, what heights of joy, what rapturous suns are mine. Hold thou my hand, so weak am I and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Savior, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid. Hold thou my hand, the way is dark before me, without the sunlight of thy face divine. But when by faith I catch its radiant glory, what heights of joy, what rapturous songs are mine." We join me in prayer. Gracious God, we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. And yet you have spanned the chasm between ourselves and yourself by the grace of Jesus Christ and the cross. For Jesus Christ became our peace and spanned the gulf and gave his life that we might know forgiveness and new life. And invited us to be sisters and brothers in the family of God and to build our lives on his foundation. Help us to accept this greatest gift of all and reach out to others as we reach out to you to build your family through your power and to your glory. Amen.